He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
This is going to be the funniest DMCA takedown you've ever gotten. Literally, like, 3 seconds into the show.
Oh, man. We are live, everybody. Welcome here to the Lakers Live Podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. That is Harrison Fagan. We just watched the Los Angeles beat the ever-living piss out of the Denver Nuggets to the tune of, Harrison, 123-100. And by the way, it wasn't even that close. I thought that, like, had the Lakers just made some threes in the first half, they could have won this thing by 30, by 40 even. They were just clearly the better team out there. So we're going to talk about this game. We're going to enjoy it. This is, I'm going to call it an emergency episode, even though I promised you guys that we would go live if the Lakers won this one. And they did. They not only did they win it, they won it just extremely handily. Harrison, we're going to try out a segment on the other half of the sounder called, it's a brand new segment, it's just called Holy Shit. So we're just going to see how this goes and throw to it. Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
I mean, holy shit.
Yeah.
It's unreal. Like, it's unbelievable watching this offense operate at the level that it does. When two of the three, of Luka and LeBron and Austin Reeves, if two of them are on the court at the same time, the offense can create it at a like really, really high level, right? Like, I would say the offense, when two of the three are on the court, will probably operate at like top 5 to 7 offenses in the league this year. When all three of those guys are on the court together and they iron out the kinks, we're talking about one of the better offenses that we may ever see. And that's before, like, they, you know, either Rui, you know, consistently hits threes at the level that he can. He went 4 of 9 from 3-point range tonight. The game basically changed when he started knocking him down. But if they swap out, like, the type of shooters that Dorian is and Rui is for, like, one elite jump shooter, I literally do not know what any team does with this offense.
I mean, I don't know what you do with it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the nice thing about
Rui has a bad night, you know.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. We're going to talk in this one. We're going to talk about the game itself. I want to talk about Luka finally looking like Luka, including the tee going into halftime, like very much a Luka thing. This was basically the full or as close to the full Luka experience as you can kind of expect on a night in, night and out basis. We're going to keep talking about this offense. And then I also think that JJ Redick deserves a ton of credit for the game plan going into this game. And then also the execution and the adjustments throughout the game as well. So this was, Harrison, this was, I told Jen, this is one of my favorite wins in, like, not counting the playoffs. This is one of my favorite wins of, like, the last decade, I would say. This was incredible.
I mean, that feels a little like recency bias just from tonight. Consider, like, the Lakers have had some meaningful wins in the last decade.
No, but I'm saying like regular season, not counting.
Okay,
not
regular counting season. That's a pretty defensible take, I think, considering the context of, like, that they have not won against Denver in the regular season since like 2022, I believe. Yeah, so it's I think I saw McMenamin tweet out that stat, but it, if not, it's felt like that long. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, the only reason you called it not quite an emergency pod, but maybe like I'd call it an urgency pod. You know, I was not getting on here if it was not this kind of win tonight on a Saturday night just for fun.
It's just the reason I call it. Yeah. Like when you consider everything, Nuggets dominance over the Lakers over the last like 4 or 5 years or so. One of the most shocking trades in NBA history. The Nuggets had come into this one winning 9 straight and were starting to look like the type of Denver Nuggets team that like has just dominated the Lakers over the years. All of the takes about Luka Doncic coming into this one from the perspective of the Dallas Mavericks, you have there's so much, you know, and the thing about the second half of the season here moving forward and then through into the playoffs is any type of real success that the Lakers have puts them way ahead of schedule. Like I kind of look at it as, I know you guys love how much I talk about the Dodgers, but the fact that the Dodgers won the World Series last year before Shohei started pitching, you know, put them way ahead of schedule. The fact that they won that World Series last year without like all of their pitching rotation and went through the postseason basically relying on the bullpen, now you reinsert that pitching talent into the Dodgers organization and they go out and add to it and they make some additions and they keep some important players going into this upcoming season. And like I have some friends. We obviously both have some friends and some connections there at Spectrum. But like I've been talking to some people at Spectrum and they were telling me how like numbers on spring training Dodgers games are just through the roof. And you look at those games out there in Arizona and they're packed. This is the most excited I think Dodgers fans have ever been coming into a season. And it's because they were so far ahead of schedule coming into it, right? And I think if the Lakers are able to, I'm so excited I just humped my desk, but like the Lakers, if they're able to have any kind of success this year, and if this is like, if this game that we just saw here is like any kind of preview as to what they're capable of going into the postseason, then Jesus, man, like they aren't supposed to look this good offensively. And Denver isn't a bad defensive team. If anything, they've leaned too far defense, too heavily defensively in their personnel decisions over the last couple of years, minus like the KCP thing.
Minus losing KCP. And I know Bruce Brown wasn't really their fault. They couldn't pay him. But I mean, they did lose two of their best defenders from the title.
Right. But like they basically like have been drafting athleticism and defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and like that's basically their directive. And
I mean, in fairness to them, if you had a guy that could make like you, me, and the Nuggets janitor look like NBA players at times, like you may not focus as much on that.
Come on. Before, Russ was really good in the second half. So, but like they carved them up. Anytime Denver was in man defense, the Lakers, like they generated any number of looks or any kind of look that they wanted. It was just, they aren't supposed to look this good, Harrison. That like this offense is like four or five games into it, right? And they're still, again, building this plane mid-flight. They aren't supposed to look like this, and they do.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to sort of ask really, I think we have to give credit to Anthony Davis here. And I know that this is not the take that you're expecting, but what has he been saying the whole time that this losing streak against Denver has been going on? He said, I need another big man to be able to, you know, like the Lakers need another big man to be able to take out Jokic. And he was right. That big boy, Luka Doncic, it just like that, it turned out that was the big guy the Lakers needed, was just, you know.
Give me another big body. And Rob was like,
that that was Luca on the tunnel walk tonight. He was like,
you see,
except for the Kirby smile was turned upside down. I love my favorite thing about Luca early on so far, watching him like every game and like sort of learning his mannerisms a little bit more, you know, seeing him post game, that sort of thing, is he did the post game interview on ESPN tonight. And he was talking about like how he's, you know, oh, I was just having fun out there. I love playing with these guys. Like, I just have so much joy for the game. And, you know, I hope that's really shining through. And it's like, no, dude, like maybe you do enjoy basketball a little bit, but you enjoy hating more than anything. Like,
oh my God,
this man, I have never seen someone smile so much while mocking people on a basketball court. Like he is psychotic. The way that he goes about torturing these, you know, and obviously, again, like I knew this, like we've all seen like the Gobert clip from last year and like various instances, like what he did to the Suns, you know, like all these moments and whatever. But it does hit different when it's your favorite team. And it's like, you know, the Tech going into halftime, was that his greatest decision ever? No, but he had 19 in 16 minutes. Like, I think he's allowed to cuss out a ref, you know, in my opinion, like if he's playing that well, he can cuss out one ref as a treat. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're allowed to give back one free point.
Yeah, I mean, get like, ejected, just,
you can give back one point. That's okay. You earned that.
Yeah, just don't miss any time. Like, don't get ejected and then don't eventually get suspended. Yeah, I was telling Jen because he had made a step back and was screaming at the people in the stands there next to him. And he was like just absolutely screaming at everybody near him, telling him like this. He's like pointing at Brown. This fucker can't guard me. He can't guard me. He can't guard anyone. And he's just like, you can just tell. He's just like really angry at the fact that
he has so much contempt for the idea that anyone would ever think they could have success guarding him.
Yes. Yeah. But that's exactly, I told Jen, I was like, I said, Jen, this guy is a psychopath, like Kobe level psychopath, because remember the Ruben Patterson, it was Patterson, right? Kobe stopper thing.
Yeah.
Where and I could just picture Kobe seeing that clip and he's like, oh, you're calling yourself what now? Yeah. And then he absolutely lit him up. And Ruben, I don't think he's ever spoken since.
Do you think JJ told him? He's like, yeah, we had Christian Brown in the studio last year, and he said that his nickname, he wanted it to be the Luka Stopper. You know, we cut it because we didn't want to get him in trouble or whatever. But he did say that.
he's like, yeah, I heard in the hallway, like JJ's walking in, like I heard in the hallway, like Christian Brown's like telling everybody out there that like he thinks he can just body up on you.
I was in the coaches association Slack and Mike Malone was saying, hey, maybe Nico Harrison has a point after the last game.
But like he takes all of it, everything personally. And I think for this specific fan base, right, that holds Kobe as dearly as we do, like that's going to be really fun to get back to. I love Anthony Davis, literally Avery, like still Avery's favorite player. She's watching the game today and she's like, where's Anthony Davis? And I was like, he's not on the team anymore. He's like, why? And I was like, well, the Lakers traded him for Luka. And she goes, why? I was like, because Luka's a better player. Oh, well, okay. Is Luka nice? Like Anthony Davis was?
No, and I was he is not.
I was like, a different kind of nice. Maybe he's nicer off of the court, but he's not very nice on the court.
No.
And she's like, well, which guys are really nice? And actually, this was adorable. I texted Aaron this as well. But like, she was like, which other guys on the team are nice? And I was like, well, that guy that Austin there is nice. Austin Reeves is really nice. She goes, oh, his name is Austin? And I was like, yeah, we live in Austin. And I was like, perfect. All right. That's
why
her
you
new
moved there, I thought.
That's
my understanding was you were just really in just on the Austin Reeves hype train.
I just knew. Like he was still in college. He might have been in high school at the time. I was like, one day this guy is going to be an undrafted free agent for the Lakers and it will all work out. But yeah, it was so fun to watch him take everything about this game so personally. And I think like we always talk about how a team picks up on the culture, like a team's culture is kind of laid. That foundation is laid by the team's best player or best players. And I think sometimes like LeBron was the only like energy force for this team. And if he didn't bring it on any given night, the Lakers just didn't have it.
Yeah. And they were like, hey, if this 39-year-old doesn't go all out tonight, I'm not sure I'm going to try my hardest either. You know?
Right. And it's such an it's such an absurd thing to like describe, but it actually was what it felt like and what was actually going on there. And I think sometimes the team would kind of look at Anthony Davis to bring up some of that extra energy. And sometimes he did, but not necessarily always. Luka always like, plays with that level of
Jokic spite. Just, he shoved me through the stanchion. Can somebody please help?
It would be like Nurkic shoved me through the stanchion. I have an owie and I can't, yeah. I don't have it tonight. And Luka though, every single night is going to play with that level of pettiness and that level of spite and that level of contempt and hatred for anybody on that team who tries to guard him, because somebody has to try to guard him. He's just like, I hate you for trying. And like, there was a play that he had tonight where Jen sitting next to me giggled because Jamal Murray was isolated on Luka, and Luka like put him down into the post, and he did like that pump fake, and Jamal Murray jumped backwards because of the pump fake. And Jen's just like, oh my God, like, that's so mean.
Yeah, him and LeBron were both, it was very 2020 bubble vibes the way they were going at Murray tonight.
Yeah, yeah. And but the exact, oh my God, great point. Like the fact that like that's Luka on one hand doing that, and then LeBron is also capable of doing that. And then like I was texting back and forth throughout this game with Matt, because he was like raving about the Lakers game plan, and he was like really impressed by like the way that the Lakers approached this game. And he was like, damn, like, it's really kind of crazy that the Lakers, you know, obviously lose Anthony Davis, but they were still able to wall off the key the way that they were. And I was like, Matt, they are huge everywhere else. They are not like, they don't have the kind of size advantage at center that they may normally have, has used to have when they had Anthony Davis. But everywhere else, LeBron is a huge, hulking, physical dude.
Yeah, they're only tiny at center. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah. And like Rui is huge. Dorian is huge. Vando is long. Luka is huge and mean. And Austin, by point guard standards, is also big. And like you just look at this team. And then on top of it, like the guys who aren't big, Gabe and Goodwin, who I thought played really well in this one, like those guys are dogs. Those guys get after it.
They're playing with a broken face.
Yeah, and yeah. So it was also, Avery was like, is he Batman? I was like, yeah, kind of. And
I mean,
so
basically,
like,
he's this yeah. masked man who came in to save the Lakers season, you know? He's just.
And so, but like we're watching and like the way that the Lakers were able to just absolutely suffocate Denver's offense was something to behold. And that's on the defensive side. And then on the offensive side, they spread them out. Poor, like Jokic was like, do I play at the level? Do I drop? Do I do this? Do I do whatever? And it just didn't matter. Like it didn't matter what
Michael Porter Jr. is still in Ball Arena running in circles.
Yeah.
Like just trying to figure out, okay, where's the ball going?
No, he's going to do a lot of his own research on how to stop pick and rolls. You know, he'll get to it, but like, yeah, I'm telling you, I'm more hyped right now coming off of that win than I have been after just about any game. Like the fact that, you know, they were winning, you know, and like at no point tonight was I was like, oh shit. I promised I would do a game show if they won. I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. Like, who wants to do this? Because I'm so hyped about the way that the Lakers played this game. It's such a fun way to watch a basketball game. Like, let's talk about that for a bit. Like, how fun it is to watch the Lakers execute in ways that has NBA players, championship level players, looking at them defensively going like, I don't know, man.
Can I curse?
Go for it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's even if you take and you just like put it in a box and put it to the side, the insane just laughability that comes with being able to watch a team that has two players that hit LaFuck you threes. like you just yeah. take that and you just push it to the side. And it's like, everybody loves that. You know, how many of those are they really going to do a game? It's the amount of ball movement that this team has now and player movement to go along with it. It's not just guys standing around waiting for, you know, okay, LeBron, it's your turn to cook. Luka, it's your turn to cook. It's like, yeah. especially the way that they get out and transition, you know, like you know, I think sometimes like the mental stuff is a little overplayed. It's like, oh, the team tried hard if they won, the team didn't try hard if they didn't win. And I'm guilty of this as well. But like, I feel like we have seen an extra little spring in LeBron's step since Luka got there. Just knowing that, you know, if he runs the floor, there is someone capable of finding him at like some, like no matter how much attention the defense is paying to him in transition as like, you know, like the greatest freight train going down the lane that we've ever seen. Like he knows that there's somebody who can get him the ball in those windows. And all of a sudden it's like, wait, he's like, wait, I don't have to be the one breaking down the defense to create a lob opportunity. Like someone can do that for me. Mm-hmm. I can be Jackson Hayes on this possession. Yeah. And, you know, well, LeBron was very overqualified to be Jackson Hayes, it turns out.
Well, there was a play. There was a stretch. And actually, I thought there were two really key J.J. Redick moments in this one. One was more of a gamble. The second one was more of an adjustment. The first one was when at the very beginning of the second half, Denver cuts it to one. And I guarantee you, every single Lakers fan watching that game was like, timeout. You can call timeout. You can call time. All right. No timeout, I guess. And the Lakers immediately go in a 10-0 run, push it back to double digits. And actually Denver winds up having to call the timeout. I thought that was a really cool thing. And I've been trying to kind of try to contextualize like, or try to figure out why JJ wouldn't have called the timeout there. And it's actually pretty self-explanatory because LeBron and Luka and Austin are on the court at the same time. And he's like, yeah, eventually they'll go on a run.
Yeah. It's like, what am I going to tell you guys? Figure it out.
Yeah. Right. You know? Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's like you call a timeout there. If it's like, if it's a stretch where it's one of those guys in a bench unit, you know,
yeah.
You call,
or it's you like call, someone's just getting hunted relentlessly. Like Dalton's getting hunted. And it's like, okay, we just got to get him out. They're going at him too much and he's tired and he doesn't have it tonight. You know, but yeah, when you have your three sort of alphas in there, which is crazy to include Austin in that sentence, it's like, what is JJ Redick going to tell LeBron and Luka?
Yeah. You know? Right. And like, you know, lo and behold, the Lakers just, they run whatever pick and rolls they have to run and they create whatever shots that they felt like they needed to create. They knocked down those shots too. Importantly, Rui had a big shot. LeBron had a nice runner and stuff. And then, they hit a couple extra shots on top of that. And Malone winds up having to call a timeout under the same circumstance. Like while his best players were on the court, Malone felt the need to call a timeout there. So I thought that was a really kind of cool moment. But the second really cool moment was Denver was went zone. They went to that like 3-2 or 1-2-2 zone that they were running. And the issue that the Lakers were having was that they were having Vanderbilt cut through the middle of the zone. And even if he caught it, Denver never really reacted to him having the ball.
Which is an if sometimes.
Yeah, like there were times where he was cutting and the Lakers were like, why would I pass?
Yeah, here? And then the bigger if is, will he make the layup? And often the answer is no.
Right. Well, will he make the layup? Will he make the right pass? Will he execute the right pass? Like all of that stuff. And so eventually now Rui got hurt. So I think it threw a bit of a curveball in there too. I think Dorian came in and I think Goodwin came in and, it was Goodwin and it was Gabe on the perimeter. And it, because it's a 1-2-2 zone or a 3-2 zone, you always want to offset the other, like, so if the top of the zone defensively is one defender, you want to go into a 2-guard set there. Because you want to make that one defender move back and forth, and that moves the rest of the defense too. And then if it's a 2-3 zone, you want one player at the top of that zone, and then you force those two defenders to be on a string with every pass that they throw. And because it's that 3-2 zone, you had Gabe and Goodwin at the top of the zone, and instead of Vando running that cut into the middle of the zone, it turned into LeBron cutting into the middle of the zone. And every time the ball got into LeBron, the defense absolutely went, you know, and had to collapse. And LeBron, either it collapsed or LeBron had whatever shot that he wanted. And it forced Denver out of that zone. And then right after they got out of the zone, the Lakers ran a few pick and rolls and the lead ballooned up to 17. And I just thought those were two really cool moments there from a rookie coach. to understand the team's personnel, to understand like, all right, we don't need to make an adjustment. The adjustment is Luka, LeBron, Austin, get your shit together. Or in a situation where they did need an adjustment, he did call a timeout. They got Vando out of the game. They put LeBron into the middle of the zone, and they completely carved up that zone, and that was it. After they did that, the game was completely over. And I thought those were two really cool moments.
I'm sorry. I'm sure your whole point was great, but I missed part of it because I believe someone was setting off fireworks outside my house, which I am choosing to believe is LA ringing in the Jokic ownership of the Lakers is over. And, you know, there's a new sheriff in town and Luka is going to lead us to the promised land.
Yeah. I do you think that was actually Genie? Do you live close enough for it to?
They don't have fireworks Genie? Before the parade budget, I don't think. So,
like, I'm trying to think of like who was setting off. Do you think it was no? Because
believe it or not, I don't live in the same area that I think Genie Bus probably lives. How close I'm just are you guessing. To the... Like, I don't actually know where she lives, but I'm assuming it's not Hawthorne.
How close are you to the Spectrum building?
I don't know, 10 to 15 minutes.
That's what it was. It was Spectrum. They were like, oh, thank God.
It was actually James Worthy's Worthy clap was so enthusiastic that you could loud. Hear it miles away. It broke the sound it was, barrier it like was Superman.
The Hulk clap? Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely incredible game. All right. Any final thoughts before we throw to the super comments?
I just think that we have to ask a question, and it's, is Mike Malone's entire career just being a Darvin Ham and D'Lo merchant? Because I'm just saying, God. I've seen the results since those two guys are gone. I'm just asking the question. You know?
That is so good.
I'm just saying, he's looking real funny going up against the podcaster. You know?
It needs to be said. These points need to be made. All right. Unlike the other end of that spectrum, I've seen
Lakers daddy paternity suit. I don't know. I think you're hearing you are not the father. You know, we're on Maury right now, and it's like I don't know. I don't know if you're the Lakers daddy. You were someone on the other sidelines, daddy.
Darvin daddy just doesn't have the same ring to it.
Daddy Ham.
Yeah, like it doesn't. You know.
And also, I mean, we should, but in seriousness, we should apologize to Darvin because he was clearly right. Rui is the Jokic stopper. They needed Luka as well. Like, if he would have had Luka, that would have been fine.
It's so crazy, though, to watch. So I've gotten this question a bunch, and I saw that it was a topic on Twitter today. But this notion that, like, is the Lakers defense better without Anthony Davis? And for one thing, like ask that question out loud and just think of like how ridiculous you sound saying it. But I think there are a couple factors at play here. One, the Lakers right now are bigger than they have ever been since the 2019-2020 championship. And if you had Anthony Davis at the center of a defense, like we saw this, we were starting to see this. If you had Anthony Davis at the center of a defense with this many wings, you add to that, by the way, Max Christie, like I think the Lakers could have gone on a pretty incredible run defensively. They were already a top five defense, and then AD got hurt, but then they've kind of kept it up since. I've been telling you guys for years now, wings are the most important player when it comes to your like role players on a court. And I think that's even more important on the defensive side of the ball because you saw every time Denver was trying to throw any kind of pass through the paint today, it had to go through like three or four Lakers hands in order to get
even Luka, who does not have a rep as a defender. Like he's just long and he had four steals tonight?
Four,
like, he had his hands all over the passing lanes. You know, that is the one thing, you know, again, you can criticize him for gambling sometimes if you want, whatever. I'm not saying that Luka's like this great defensive player, but he has tools that allow him to impact defense at times and not be just like an outright complete weakness.
Well, he's a really, really smart basketball player. And he's fucking huge.
Yeah.
Like, he's a big guy. And so, like, it's and different
not just the way Nico Harrison means. Like, wingspan-wise? Verticality?
He's really, really smart. And... but, like... it's just like you look at you watch the like go back and I can't wait to rewatch this game. I cannot wait. But like watch how uncomfortable Jokic of all players is making any kind of pass out of the traps that the Lakers were setting. And they were like, I think Rui deserves a ton of credit tonight, not just for the making the threes when he made them, but like there was not a single moment that Jokic was on the court tonight and he looked at all comfortable. And I'm not talking about like when he had the ball. I'm talking ever. Like if he, when Denver was on the court, when Denver was on offense and Luka was trying, or Jokic was just trying to get to his spots that they needed him to get to like run a set. Vando was like standing in front of him. Rui was standing in front of him. Dorian was standing in front of him. LeBron was fighting him for position. And that's before he even caught the ball. And then that forced him to catch the ball a good, like, 5-6 feet further out from the basket than he wanted. And then they were setting those traps. And then when they were setting the traps on the backside of that defense was a whole bunch of length and athleticism and guys who knew where to be. And yes, there were breakdowns. There are going to be breakdowns. And this kind of defense, I am a little concerned about the sustainability to it because they have to play so hard to execute it. But like when they do, when they really dial it in, like it is just, it's so fun. And then, like you mentioned earlier, Harrison, when they get those stops and they get out and run, I have no earthly idea what teams do on against a transition team that has LeBron on one side and Luka on the other. I don't have any earthly idea what that could possibly
you
do.
You know, it might be a good idea. You know, maybe if you like just sort of get down and you start praying to whatever deity you believe in, that like it might confuse them enough a couple times that they're like, you know, oh, what happened? Why is everybody ducking? And they just turn the ball over.
Yeah, Jonathan Isaac actually might do that. But all right, so let's go ahead and dive on into the super comments. It was funny earlier. You were like, can we cuss, right? It was like, yeah. Fuck Washington!
I'm sorry. I forgot. It's late. I forgot if you were like trying to monetize these shows, if you were allowed to or something. Yeah, but.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably pushing it tonight with this episode, but I don't even care. Like, this was such a fun big win that I don't even care. All right, Marley. And
Boston, you know, it's what did they do tonight? They know what they did, you know?
Marley Villasenor kicks us off with Gordon as 2016. Clay is wild. Him and Russ won't shoot like that always. Also, I've been very impressed with JJ lately. Defensive game planning has been great. That's also what's crazy, Harrison, is that the Lakers won a game against the Nuggets and like going away in which Aaron Gordon shot 4 of 7 from 3-point range and Russ shot 3 of 7. So like that's you know, 50% on high volume from those two guys. And the Lakers took those big shots and just like, all right, we'll just go knock down one of our own or create a wide open one of our own.
I mean, I would expect those guys to shoot a little better given the way that the Lakers were playing them. But I was, you know, when you were making your defense point earlier, yeah, I wouldn't expect them to shoot 50%, to be clear. But I would expect them to shoot a little better than their averages. But I also to your point on the defense earlier, I think another huge thing for the Lakers has just been sort of stylistically this year. You know, like I know, like I don't live that close to the film room, like our friend Coach Pete from LFR, but he might have been setting off fireworks for the way this team gang rebounds now. And the way that this team like actually closes out to shooters without their hands in their pockets, you know, it's just like there's a lot of just sort of activity, low hanging fruit things that they're doing just at a smarter level than they have the last couple years where it's like, hey, why don't we have AD drop? And it's like, well, that, you know, that sort of is like the thing he's the least, you know, differentiated from every other big in the NBA at. You know, he's good at it, but
yeah,
he's good at
but everything. They had to, because it was like he was the only guy who like rebounded, you know. Yeah. So it was like, you know, they you know,
it's wild when they ask, like when they tell the other four players on the team they're allowed to rebound as well, how many more rebounds you get.
Yeah, and hold them accountable too. Like
Like, Luka was boxing out tonight. Again, I know he's never going to have a rep as a great defender, nor really should he. But, you know, he was boxing out Jokic at times tonight to allow for gang rebounding. You know, like they were, they really were all sort of, you know, they seem to take some pride in this one. And I don't know if some of that is him trying to send a message of like, hey, you know, how much of the roster do you need to turn over for this to be a different team against the Nuggets? It's like, well, we found our answer, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do kind of feel bad for AD because I know he was watching. And he's just like, what the fuck? Where has this been? Like, I couldn't get one Dorian Finney-Smith like over the last 3 years.
It's like got to be how D'Angelo Russell felt Russ's first like half season with the Clippers when he was like really trying on defense.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, what the hell?
Too. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I am never going to be the person who says like the Lakers defense is better than, you know, I think they are playing better defensively than they did while AD is there, but I don't think they are a better defensive team without Anthony Davis. And those are two very, very different
points. I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Justin Tindall writes, AD would be pissed. Joker made two shots. It took Jokic like till the second quarter to shoot. Like he just never looked all that comfortable. Now, Jokic, because he's still great, finished with a triple double, right? 12, 10, and 13. Again, the Lakers beat the crap out of the Nuggets in a Jokic assist game. Like those are the ones that you lose. If Jokic is racking up assists, you lose.
You have the Jokic assist and Russ and Aaron Gordon positive variance shooting game.
Right. And the Lakers
win by 20.
Beat the crap out of should have beat him by more. I'm dumbfounded at what this win tells us that this team is capable of. Like I tweeted out, like, I know that it's going to come off as in jest, you know, the Lakers, like, you know, what did they tweet out? It was consider this a warning at NBA. Like I'm kind of sort of there. Like I'm kind of looking at this. Like I've always been kind of,
I do think the Nuggets again, I know they won 9 going into tonight. They, when I have watched them this year, have not looked as good as past years. And so I do think like this is not the same Nuggets as well that was like sort of owning the Lakers the last couple of years. Like as bad as KCP has been in Orlando, or I guess is mediocre, you know, like they still miss just having hit. Like he's better than the guys that they're sort of playing as backups to Christian Brown to, you know, replace him and replace those minutes. But so this is a diminished Nuggets team that sort of frankly like cheaped out in some areas and tried to be like, hey, Mike Malone, guess what? You have to play our young guys that aren't good. And, you know, I mean, that may end up hurting them. And then we also have to ask, like, you know, is Yoke GM like a bad decision maker going after Russ?
Again, Russ was actually good.
I know.
It was so annoying in the second half. He was like, God damn it. The only thing that would make this better if we could just victory lap.
He did the same thing the first game. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to brick everything. They're going to stop guarding me. And then I'm going to go off in the second half.
Yeah. Jeff Perosi writes, we really need Harrison on more than twice a month. How much would the show need to grow to develop AI Harrison for the other two shows a month?
Hang on a minute, Jeff. That I appreciated your comment until you tried to just replace me with AI.
That's the investment.
Way that it would cost Anthony less money to develop an AI model of me than to just to hire just
have
me.
You on? Yeah. I mean, look,
I'm a blogger. I'm not that expensive.
Like, I don't know, man. I've seen your positions at SB Nation. They just say every time I talk to you, it's like, yeah, I got another promotion. So actually, I might start developing an AI.
Chat GP Fagan.
I know it'll be a hat PT, right? Because of your fedora.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be hat PT.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That is, I think, going to do it here for this. Again, what'd you call it? Urgency episode?
Yeah, it's an urgency episode. It's not an emergency. You know, this is the new normal where the Lakers just kick the shit out of the Nuggets. You know, it's like, we got to get used to this. We don't have to do an urgency episode the next time they spank the Nuggets by 20. But this time, it's such a sea change from what has come before that, you know, there was some urgency for this episode.
It was all the variables, too, like we talked about. Aaron Gordon shot well. The only difference here is that, like, Michael Porter Jr. didn't shoot well. He has been pretty bad this year. by his standards. And then, you know, with how physically the Lakers play tonight, that's usually when MPJ struggles. But the fact that the Lakers beat the Nuggets in the Aaron Gordon game and the Russell Westbrook second half and, you know, Jokic dished out the 10 assists, like, this is normally a game that, like, at the very least, it's close. But the Lakers beat the piss out of them.
And you,
like,
know how mad
they dominated
You know, I know we have some friends in Nuggets media, but do you know how mad they have to be that there was a Let's Go Lakers chant breaking out in Ball Arena? It took one game for the Lakers fans to come back out in full force.
Oh man, I love Lakers fans. We're the best. Everybody hates us, but we're the best.
Well, that is, they hate us here, because it's like, you know, there's like a small domino of like Rob and Nico Harrison meet for coffee, and then it's like big domino Mike Malone fired after a playoff flameout. Like,
no,
you know,
like, it's like Nico Harrison started as an intern is like the small domino at Nike. Like, yeah. Nico Harrison starts at Nike is the big domino, or the small domino, and then the big domino way down the road is Nico Harrison,
like Luka Doncic, like multi-time Lakers champion. Like,
that is going to do it, though. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. There are roughly 3,000 of you guys tuned in right now. So please hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, and then tell your friends about the show as well. The bigger the show gets, the higher the likelihood becomes that I can maybe bring on Harrison like one half an episode more. He's really expensive is the thing.
Or replace me with AI, apparently.
Or
you have not released a statement yet committing to not replace me with AI. So I'm side-eyeing you a little bit.
I mean, you're management, so you don't really get to judge me. So have a great rest of your weekend, everybody. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.